Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to another episode of the Friends with Money podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Johnson, journalist here at Money Magazine, filling in for Tom Watson. Today, we're talking about those free super health check sites and online quizzes that can push people to switch super, sometimes into riskier, more expensive products. ASIC is reviewing how these lead gen funnels are used, and it's published a transparency list. Joining us today is ASIC Commissioner Alan Kirkland. Welcome, Alan.
Good to be here, Ryan.
Alan, for listeners who's only seen the headlines, what is lead generation in plain English, and why is ASIC reviewing it now?
Well, it's basically a marketing activity, which typically starts with a social media ad that might offer a competition or prizes or a free super health check or something like that. But really what they're trying to do is get your contact details, which are then handed over to a telemarketer. And their role is to kind of warm you up, bring you along on the journey. And then ultimately what they do is hand over your details to a financial firm. These lead generation businesses are businesses that are out there trying to find potential customers for other firms. And that's their business model. They sell what they call leads, which is basically your name, phone number, email address to another business, and those businesses then use it for their own business purposes. And where we're concerned about it is what they're then doing is trying to convince people to switch their super into high-risk investments.
So I've looked through the transparency list, but I was wondering, what does this new transparency list actually do for consumers, and how should people interpret it if they see a business they recognise on it?
We're publishing it really as part of our campaign to raise awareness of lead generation. And we're doing that because in our work to date, we have seen a lot of harm to investors. We've seen a lot of people lose their retirement savings or a large chunk of them after being convinced to switch their super into an inappropriate investment. And so in publishing this list, we want to raise awareness of those practices. It's to let consumers know that if they're dealing with a firm on that list, they may be dealing with a lead generation service. It doesn't mean that we've formed a view that those businesses have breached the law or that we're formally investigating them, but we think it's important to be transparent with the business, with consumers about the businesses that we have identified so far in our review. And in doing so, we're also putting the whole industry on notice that we are taking a close interest in financial firms that use lead generation, and we're going to be looking closely at whether they're complying with their legal obligations to their clients.
So being named on the list isn't a finding of wrongdoing then. So what would prompt a removal or an update to this list? Is this something that you're going to be looking at fairly regularly? And how many providers are on this list at the moment?
So we've got, I think, 44 on there at the moment, but that number is going to change. It's a list we're publishing while our review is underway, and that's an open-ended sort of time frame at this stage. We'll see how we go with this work, what it leads to. And at some point, the review will end and our intention is to take the list down. But while it's underway, we will be updating it. We don't propose to take firms off the list unless they can demonstrate that they've been placed on there in error. But we're actually checking carefully before we list anybody on the list so we think it's factually accurate. We don't imagine making any changes to remove firms, but we will be adding firms along the way. And we have, since we published it, already been notified of a range of other firms that are involved in lead generation, which we're looking into, and I expect that some of them will be added to the list.
And is this just across the super space, or is this financial advice as well?
So what we're looking at is firms that have got an Australian Financial Services license to provide financial advice that are connected to lead generation. So there's a link to super because if somebody is recommending that you switch your super, they need to be appropriately licensed to provide financial advice. But our interest is in those financial advice firms and the financial advisors that we've identified as either involved in lead generation or having purchased lead from lead generation businesses. And that's because they've got obligations that we oversee. So they've got to give advice that's in their client's best interests. They've got to make sure that advice is appropriate for the client. And they've got to make sure that they put the interests of the client ahead of any interests of the advisor or the firm that they work for. So we want to understand if they're buying leads in this kind of way, given it often involves quite substantial fees, how are they then making sure that the overall service they provide is right for the client and in line with those obligations?
Just for a listener's clarity, Can you walk us through what typically happens when someone ends up in one of these sales funnels? From, like, imagine they're scrolling through social media from their first click all the way to their recommendation to switch their super and them switching their super. Can you give us a bit of a walkthrough of what that might look like?
So based on our investigations to date, it does typically start with a social media ad. So somewhere like Instagram, for example, you might see an ad that offers a free super health check, or might ask, are you worried about whether your super's in the best fund? We can help you. They might involve quizzes, questionnaires. They might offer prizes. But usually the next step is, if you click on that ad, they'll get you to insert some contact details. You'll then often fairly quickly start getting phone calls. The people that make the phone calls are really often really highly trained telemarketers that often don't do a really hard sell. It's often a really friendly soft sell. They'll often tell you that your current super fund is not a good one. They'll tell you they can help you to find a better fund that's safe but will get you better returns. Somewhere along the way, they might introduce a financial advisor who will sometimes just have a brief conversation with you on the phone, and they'll try and get you to agree to switch your super. And once you've given authority for that, that often happens really quickly and your super will be switched. And often what happens is they're moving people from a relatively safe super fund, a traditional fund where you've got a blended investment option, into a platform product or a self-managed super fund with your super actually invested in high-risk investment schemes, but potentially in the property sector. And that's where things can go terribly wrong.
There must be some, legitimate lead generation sites out there. And I was wondering, at what point does legitimate marketing become harmful conduct in ASIC's eyes? Is there like a threshold that needs to be met?
So we will always be concerned if advisors are giving advice to shift people from a relatively safe superannuation investment into a high-risk investment, because if the marketing is being done in order to encourage that to happen, then we'd be concerned that the marketing might itself be misleading, depending on what the promises are made in those Facebook ads, depending on what they say in those lead generation telemarketing calls. That may be misleading. If the lead generators themselves in those calls are actually recommending financial products, that's financial advice. That would be in breach of the law. So there's a range of ways in which these operations can breach the law. And really, we've seen so many problems come from these lead generation activities encouraging people to switch their super. We're literally thousands of people that have lost large chunks of their retirement savings. That our message to consumers is you should always be on alert if somebody is trying to talk to you on the phone about switching your super, and particularly if that started with an ad on social media.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some horrific cases out there, like First Guardian and Shield, high-profile cases where thousands of Australians have faced heavy losses, and there's some horrible stories coming out of that. Can you explain a bit about these cases and, I suppose, how lead generation was often the first step in those journeys?
So for many people, it started with them responding to a social media ad or sometimes getting a call out of the blue. So often people aren't really sure how these lead generators got their contact details, but, you know, they've probably responded to something online at some point and their details have ended up in a database that's been handed on to these lead generation calls. But they'll often describe then spending hours on their own to these people, because, as I said before, they're really sort of smooth operators and they're happy to spend a long time talking to people. They often mislead people about their current super. So I've actually listened to some of the call recordings that ASIC has gathered through our investigations, and you'll hear the lead generator, the telemarketer, ask someone what fund they're in, and they'll say, oh, that's not a very good fund. Whereas when we look at it objectively, actually, it's a pretty well-performing fund. They mislead people about the nature of their current fund, and then they tell them there's a better investment they can be in that's relatively safe but will generate better returns. And then they really keep the pressure on, sort of gently but firmly, for people to then agree to switch their super. And often then people have been switched into what's called a platform superannuation product. So that's where the super might be hosted by a firm like Macquarie, but in reality, it's then invested in
managed investment schemes that aren't operated by Macquarie. And that's where the risk sometimes lies, because some of these are being high-risk property schemes where things can very rapidly go wrong. And lots of people have lost a large chunk of their retirement savings as a result.
Yes, I think that the numbers out of those two cases is affecting up to 12,000 people, and over $1 billion was at risk. So it's a massive red flag and a massive problem in the industry. Now, you were saying that that people are moved from, I suppose, super funds to higher risk products. A lot of these cases involve people moving from APRA-regulated funds into products or structures overseen under ASIC. Can you explain in simple terms, what's the difference between APRA's prudential role and ASIC's conduct role? And why does that really matter when people are being pushed to switch?
Look, it is a complex system, and there are a range of different super products people could be moved into. But in general, APRA's role is to look at the overall governance and management of regulated super funds. So that can include the more traditional super funds that most people start out their working life in. It can include the platform funds that I mentioned a moment ago. And APRA is really looking at how those funds are run overall. That's a really simple way of explaining it. Whereas ASIC tends to be more interested in, well, what promises are the funds making to their consumers, and are they accurate, and are they treating their customers fairly? Now, it's a bit more complex than that in reality. There's a bit of overlap where APRA and ASIC work together. But yeah, we tend to look more at the conduct of the fund, so how it's actually treating its customers. But it's also important to note that some people in these situations, with lead generation, including in the First Guardian matter, have then been switched instead into a self-managed super fund. And it's really important that people understand those self-managed super funds are not regulated by APRA or ASIC. So there is much less protection if people are moved into those funds. And often it's much harder to get compensated if something goes wrong. So just as we're warning people about the risks of lead generation, we're really trying to raise awareness of the fact that if you're convinced to move your super into a self-managed super fund, just understand that's an even higher risk step to take. And you know, think really carefully and make sure you've got appropriate advice, potentially from more than one source, before you do that.
That's great advice. I've been getting a lot of those ads myself, and I'm only 30, for self-managed super funds. So they're all trying to get me to invest crypto into it. So it's definitely around at the moment. So is this the type of harm that you're most worried about? And what are the simplest red flags you want people to remember from this?
Look, we are concerned about any behaviour in the industry that encourages people to move their super into high-risk investments. And that's because super is a really valuable asset. Well, for lots of people, it's the most valuable asset they've got. If not, it's the second most valuable asset after a family home, if they're lucky enough to own one. So you need to think about moving your super as one of the biggest financial decisions you could ever make. And that's why we're really encouraging people to be on alert. But in terms of the things to look out for, if anybody on the phone is trying to convince you to switch your super, and that's somebody you've never met before, that should be something that you should stop and think about. If they're trying to apply pressure for you to sign on the dotted line to your super, that's another sign. If they initially lured you through some of those tactics I've talked about, such as offering free super health checks or to help you find lost super, that's another sign to look out for. So at the end of the day, it is a really big step to move your super, and you should be really cautious about doing that if the person that's trying to convince you to do it is somebody who you've never met in person.
So just the last one here, Alan. If people are worried about these lead gen sites, or even are worried that they've gone down the rabbit hole of one of these lead gen sites, where should they be turning, and where do you want them to start in their journey to, I don't know, potentially recover losses, or if they're giving bad financial advice, where should consumers go?
Well, you mentioned you're seeing lots of ads at the moment. I think one of the confusing things about super and investing is there are lots of firms out there and individuals advertising saying they can help you, and it's hard to know who you can trust. Luckily, there is one source of information you can trust, and that's the ASIC Money Smart website. we provide it as a free service to the public. It's full of information on, you know, what to think about if you want to understand whether your super's performing or you're thinking about switching it, how to find a financial advisor and how to approach a financial advisor if you decide you want financial advice, but also how to make a complaint if you think that you've been given poor advice. So moneysmart.gov.au is a great place to start for any of those questions.
Yes, love the Money Smart website. Alan, that's been incredibly insightful. Thank you for walking us through this very important issue that's come out recently. So thank you for tuning in for another episode of the Friends with Money podcast. We will be putting out information about this and links to the Money Smart website in the notes.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.